Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're in the studio again with our sweet sisters here, Tanya and Janelle and Miss Tara and Sandy. And last time that Tara ended it with a challenge. She challenged us last time to spur us on, you know, to heavenly treasure and not earthly treasure. And our story last time, the rich man, he showed such selfishness. It was all about him, myself, and he wanted to build bigger storage just to keep his, what he thought was a treasure, which we know is not, it's perishable. Our treasure is in heaven. And so Tara's going to tell us about taking heed.
Well, I think we're going to look at Scripture and examine how Scripture challenges us to take heed. But before we do, we want to recapture and get back where we were, and that Jesus is talking to the crowds. An individual has come up and approached him as a way of reminder for those in case you haven't been listening. And this individual wants to know if Jesus would solve his dispute with his brother about the inheritance. And Jesus is, no, I'm not here to be your earthly judge. You know, turns to the crowd and he begins to give a parable. And he warns the crowd. He says, be on your guard against all forms of greed, for a man's life does not consist of his abundance or his possessions. And he tells about a rich man and how he has this huge crop full, and he says, what shall I do? I've got no place to put all I have. So he decides to tear it all down and build bigger buildings to hold bigger crops so that he can eat, drink, and be merry. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus says, but God says, you fool. For this very night your life will be demanded from you, and then who will have what you have prepared? Jesus says that anyone who stores things up for himself, this is what will happen to him if it's not rich towards God. So he's warning, he's wanting us to take heed. And this is an important time for us to think about. Holman Bible Commentary said, riches have no purchase over death. I thought that's a pretty good quote. And so I thought we should take that in. But what we're going to do is I want us to examine 1 Timothy 6, 7 through 10. If somebody would open up and let's read it, because I want us to see how this applies into our parable today and think through these verses and how they help us to take heed, what it is we need to guard our hearts with. Who has it?
Do we all have it?
We all have it. Who wants to be the one to read?
I'll go. Is it verse 6, starting in verse 6 or 7?
It's chapter 6, 7 through 10.
Okay, 7. Because 6 is a good verse.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, do six.
Okay, so yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows.
All right. I'm so glad you had us do the six. So let's sit on six for a second. Where does contentment come from?
Godliness.
Mm-hmm. All right. Godliness. And what is godliness?
What a profound theological question.
What is godliness? Seriously, what is it?
I think it's just obedience.
Okay.
You know, we obey what he wants us to do, what he wants to give, where he wants us to go.
Okay.
Christ-likeness. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So contentment is found in godliness. All right. This contentment, it comes from, it yields the peace of mind. And so that's the reward, that when we are in obedience, we don't have the stress of we've done something wrong, okay? Mm-hmm. And so we can trust that, you know, when we're in obedience, contentment, peace will come. You don't have the fear of being in trouble. You don't have fear of somebody being mad at you. You don't have fear because you know you've done what you're supposed to do. And so I think that's part of it, is the peace that it gives. All right, so this passage, though, does give us warning for what do we bring into this earth when we're born? Can we bring anything in? Nothing. No.
Come in pretty naked.
Okay. And when you die, what are you going to take with you?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Ah. Are we only going to take nothing? If we're believers, is there someone we can take with us? Do you think we could take people?
Oh, you mean like witnesses? Souls. People. Witnessing.
Yeah, I just thought I'd throw that in.
Yeah,
you know,
good one.
You're right. We won't be able to take anything physical.
Yeah.
But as a believer in Christ, if we're sharing in obedience, we will be taking others with us into heaven.
Mm.
So there
Absolutely.
There is something we can take. It's just we won't be taking earthly things.
It's kind of like in that poem that I wrote, Steve was a witness, you know, mm-hmm. Eddie's service. Mm-hmm. Through Charles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome.
That is awesome. And so just to be thinking on, you know, no, we can't take anything. When we're born, we cannot bring anything in. And when we die, we really can't take anything with us. But we can actually bring people.
Souls.
Mm-hmm. Souls. Okay. What does the want of riches do? What does it produce?
Greed.
Greed.
That's where back to the greed, yeah.
Okay, so it's a temptation. And it says in this passage that it's a trap.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a trap into foolishness and harmful desires. It can literally, it's like we have a snare set before us. And so anytime we allow ourselves to pursue that which is not godly gain, but, you know, earthly gain, we run ourselves into the possibility of temptation, and not just a temptation, but a temptation that can lead to a trap that can ensnare us.
Mm.
And in the process, that if we allow that temptation to happen, it can eventually destroy us. And, you know, and last time I shared about how with our family, all the things that we went through, that God, when he was taking things out of our lives to teach us to trust him, one of the testimonies that we have from that time is that Greg was greatly trusting the leaders that were above him, mm. because up to that point, they had helped him produce a pretty big bank account.
Mm.
And 6 months before the collapse of Enron, I had told Greg, I said, Greg, I really think that you need to transfer your funds, our funds. And he's, no. They know what they're talking about. and his trust was in man, and mine was coming through prayer. And this was one time that it was like, I wished I had listened. He kicked himself over and over and over because I came to him and gave him a warning. And because he was willing to listen to what man had to say instead of what the Spirit of God was saying, we ended up losing all of our 401k, our finances, our retirement, all of his bonuses, all of that stuff that came through the Enron, whatever, how they did it. And so it is so easy for us to allow ourselves to be snared. And I mean, to justify it, to, you know, they've guided us. Look, they've done this. They took it from this, and it went to this, and it went to this. And then the next thing we know, it's locked. And so it all went from like 160 whatever down to a penny stock, you know. And they locked all the employees out, where financially they could not touch any of their accounts. And they did it for 30 days because it was seized by the government because of what was going on. And so there was nothing employees could do. And so we allowed ourselves to be trapped
mm-hmm.
by the snare. And it leads to our destruction.
Mm-hmm.
It leads to our destruction. Now, the blessing for us is that we were willing to have a teachable spirit. We mm-hmm. humble ourselves and we begged God for forgiveness for where our focus and our idolatry was at. We had an idol, and God had to remove that idol mm-hmm. from our life so that we could get our eyes on him. And what happens is, it says in this passage, it says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and people will wander from the faith.
Mm.
And that it literally can pierce you with many griefs. And so to guard so that we not have that piercing occur in our lives, it's crucial. And so as you look at this and you're thinking of this man, and it says, but God said to him, you fool. For this night, your life is demanded from you. What does that make you think?
It reminds me of this assignment I'm doing. I'm a student at Grace University, and I'm writing a paper for my Wisdom Lit class on Ecclesiastes. And the whole theme of Ecclesiastes is that everything under the sun without God is meaningless. Mm. There's no, like, you work all this time and you have all this stuff, you develop your assets on earth, and then you die and you can't take any of it with you. Mm-hmm. You know, like we were saying, you can take spiritual things, but not this physical stuff that we work and we strive for. And it really lies to where our priorities are, because if we look under the sun for our fulfillment, we're not going to find it. Mm. The crux of the matter, the conclusion is, since everything under the sun is meaningless, therefore fear God. Therefore obey God and invest your time and your energy in God, because that's the only place you're going to find meaning and fulfillment.
I wish you could see Janelle. She is just so beautiful. You know, and just so sweet. I just love her heart.
We're so blessed to have her from
absolutely.
Grace here with us.
Shucks.
Absolutely. Now she's blushing. You can't see her little blush. But all that wisdom in somebody. Know. How old are you?
Yeah, 19? That's what I was thinking.
19? Oh,
I didn't have that. I wish I would have, but I didn't have it then.
I didn't have
I'm
it.
I'm thankful for what I have now. I still don't have it yet.
Okay, now y'all go back and record. Go back, rewind on that podcast, and you go back. That was a 19-year-old that just spoke that. She gave you even the conclusion, the outcome, which is to fear God and obey Him. It's amazing. And yes. Okay, so and we do yes.
Yes and amen.
Yes.
Wrap it up.
Wrap it up. We don't have to say anything else,
nope,
do we?
No, we don't.
I'm just thinking, okay, so as Jesus is speaking this to the crowd, and if I was the man that started this, teacher, would you divide my inheritance with my brother? Would you make him give to me, tell my brother to divide his inheritance? What would I have been thinking? What would have my reaction have been as I was sitting in the crowd? Would I have listened? How would I have responded? And then when Jesus says, but God said, you fool.
And that's the part that gets you fool, you know.
Yeah.
And I've been that fool.
I've shared you our testimony. We have been. We have been. And he just looks at him. He says, who's going to have it? And so the question ultimately we have to bring before ourselves is, what am I storing up? What do my storehouses look like? What do I have that I am storing up in my moments with my family, in my moments with my friends, my people at Grace? What am I doing that I am storing up so that it is rich toward God?
And see, I've thought about that a lot. I'm in the winter season of my life. I'm not 19 anymore. So I really think about, what kind of legacy am I leaving from my children and my grandchildren? You know, what are they? I think about it a lot. When they see me, what do they see? You know, I want them to see God.
Yeah, you know. To be where our focus is on kingdomness. On kingdomness. And the thing is that when I have found the world doesn't necessarily like it when I'm kingdom-minded. Uh-uh. And sometimes even Christian people don't like it when I'm kingdom-minded.
No.
Because it brings...
It convicts them that they're not.
Exactly. No.
Kingdom-minded.
Yeah.
Challenges.
Right.
It does.
It challenges. And
you challenge me all the time, and I love it. You know?
I don't have any idea how I do that.
I'm convicted. I don't feel guilty, but I'm very convicted.
And so getting our rich toward God, being rich toward God, and so thinking through, and this fact that he says that I will eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to take life easy. And isn't that retirement?
Kind of is, isn't it? I don't think
so. To me, when I read this, I don't remember. It probably was when I was in my master's, so probably 92, 93, 94, somewhere in there. And reading this, and we were doing it in a class in one of my, I don't know, Bible classes or something. I had a professor say, nowhere in Scripture does it show retirement.
Right.
And
doesn't matter about your
and
age.
And I read this, and I thought, that's really our American concept of retirement. But the biblical example of retirement is they're on mission for God until the day they die. Right. There is no retirement as far as what we're supposed to do as far as the kingdom. So being rich towards God isn't about taking life easy, mm-mm, eating, drinking, and being merry. That doesn't mean that we won't rest, because he promises glorious rest. Doesn't mean that we won't be merry. We will. We've had great laughter here today in the studio already. It doesn't mean that we won't eat and celebrate with those that we love.
Right.
But it does mean that it needs to be with a mindset of honoring God and not man.
Mm-hmm.
And not storing up on earth, but storing up. And so when we have conversations, how do we bring in fellowship? How do we bring in where we're talking about faith things? Because if I'm rich towards God, then as I'm in conversations with those around me, I will always be working towards bringing it towards that which is spiritual.
Mm.
Somehow to draw it in so that we can think through what God is doing in my life and how I can grow. And it's one of the things I think I love more than anything at Grace, is that my day is full of those moments. And even I was sitting yesterday and talking with ladies that are on the volleyball team and the soccer team, and Tanya's our soccer coach, and they were telling me the thing that they love the most about the program is the focus that the discipling that they are going to get and that they're getting. So those that are looking towards it and those that have already been in it, and the fact that they have devotionals before games and that they pray together and that they're called out to hold accountable and to disciple an incoming freshman. They were telling these things to me, and they had no idea that that's one of my passions to hear. It's just they're talking their hearts about school. And so our mindset needs to be, how can I be rich towards God? And the crazy thing is that when we are rich towards God, we love it when that's brought before us and someone brings that to us. You can't help but want to be around it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nothing better than to be in the presence of somebody that, you know, I know this person's in the Word. Tanya, I know when I'm with you, you have been in the Word, and that we can talk about the Word, and Sandy, and I know that with even Janelle. And so we need to be where we have that mindset. How can I bring people in? Bringing that richness.
It's kind of like Paul's perspective. I've always been struck by, in every one of his letters, you know, he opens with, I pray for you, and he prays these prayers that are like, I want you to be strong in your faith. I want you to be the best that you can be. I want you to grow in Christ so much that you experience the fullness of living life with him. Like, he's so not selfish in the way that he presents this letter to them. His desire is that they be closer to God, not even that he be closer to God, but that they be closer, and it's so selfless. And like that's the kind of perspective that I want to have towards other people.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Mm-hmm. That's funny, because I read that this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually prayed a prayer that I would somehow be that over Grace. That would be what I am. And so we only have 15 seconds left, and we're so glad that you have joined us. And so you need to come back next week, because next week we're just going to hone in on how to be heavenly minded. What does it mean to store up treasures in heaven? God bless.